Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Welcome to Freedom Through Faith. Prepare to be blessed as pastor and teacher Robert Thibodeau leads us into the anointed study of the Word of God, teaching and empowering you how to impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching you how to receive the blessings and provisions of God, and how to walk through this life with freedom through faith. And now, here's Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to Freedom Through Faith. Glory to God. We are so blessed you're joining us today. We started last week in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to dive right back into Proverbs 2 today. This is exciting. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Now, we covered all this last week, but Jesus is wisdom. He's the wisdom of God, and He is represented throughout the book of Proverbs. So that's why I've titled this series, Seeing Jesus in Proverbs. And today is part 2, where we're looking at Proverbs chapter 2 and hopefully chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. We'll jump right into this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come this day before your throne of grace and mercy, thanking you, praising you for the victory. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct this conversation. And Lord, we thank you that someone somewhere this day receives Jesus as their Savior. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Join me in our profession of faith, commonly referred to here as the Lord's Prayer. Now, we do this each and every week just to lay the solid foundation upon which we're going to build. Amen. So let's say this out loud, loud enough for your own two ears to hear. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we want to stay focused on the Word of God, right? All right. Say this with prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and provision, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be led away into temptation, but deliver us at all times from all evil. This is your kingdom, your power, your glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter number 2. Amen. Glory to God. Now, as I was saying, you know, we're going to be looking here about the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom. And this is important, okay? Now, as we get started, just let me ask you something here. If someone offered you, say, a map that guaranteed protection from deception or peace in the middle of chaos, financial clarity, family security, a deep rest for your soul, would you follow it? Now, if I told you that that map already exists, that it's written in the pages of Scripture, would you want to know where it's at? Would you want to go see it? Well, that Jesus himself spoke the same truths with his own lips. The same thing. Then the real question becomes, will you lean in to find it? Or will you just wander around looking for it like everyone else? Because today we are opening a true treasure map. And it starts with the two chapters in Proverbs that just change. They might change your life. Okay, last time we began to see Jesus and his red letters by studying Proverbs chapter 1. Now today we're going to continue this study. I wanted to set this up chapter 2 and chapter 3. We'll see how far along we get. Amen. So grab your Bibles. Let's open them up to Proverbs chapter 2 and just follow along as we go. All right. So here in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon opens chapter 2 with the same fatherly tone we saw last time in chapter 1. But this time his words press deeper, okay, drawing us into something more than instructions. They invite us into a pursuit. He says, my son, read this now. My son, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments within me. This is not a passive suggestion. It's a passionate call to action. Wisdom doesn't come to those who sit back and wait. It comes to those who lean in. Listen up. Go after it like their life depends on it, because in a lot of cases, it really does. And verse 2 echoes that urgency. Let's look at it. So you should incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. In other words, don't just hear the truth. Bend your ear towards it. Don't just learn it. Engage your whole heart with it. And this is not casual curiosity. It's a deliberate pursuit. And it gets even more intense in verse 3. Here he says, yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. If, that's a condition, right? Wisdom seeking becomes vocal. It's no longer a private reflection. It's a public desperation. The hunger for truth is so deep. You're not just studying. You're now shouting it out. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 7. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. In Luke 11, verse 10, he said, everyone that asks, what? Receives. He that seeks, finds. Solomon and Jesus are saying the same thing. You don't stumble around with the truth. You don't fall into the truth. You go after it with everything you've got. Verse 4 presses that point even further. It says, if you seek her wisdom as silver, search her for hidden treasures. Now, let's stop there for a second, because that metaphor shifts to a treasure hunt. Now, imagine here, if someone lost their wedding ring on a walk in the field. Well, they just walk away. Oh, well, what you gonna do? No. They clear their schedule, get on their knees. Where did we walk it? It's gotta be here somewhere. They'd be digging around in the dirt, and they keep searching until they found it. That's the picture Solomon gives us. You don't get wisdom by reading a verse and then scrolling off into something else. You get it by digging, praying, crying out, staying in the word until the light breaks through, basically. Amen. I mean, that's how I do my Bible studies. That's how this study got started. I'll tell you the truth. I'm just reading Proverbs chapter 1 about 2 weeks ago, I guess now, and 2-3 weeks ago. And I was just reading through, looking at Proverbs, and all of a sudden, this thing just jumped out at me. This is Jesus speaking to me. It's not Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. No, Jesus is the wisest man who ever lived. Jesus inspired Solomon to write what Solomon wrote. Amen. So that's what I'm trying to get to. Once you see a scripture and you start digging deep into it, I mean, I can't even tell you how many teachings I've created simply because one word jumped out of the Bible at me. One word in one verse of scripture, and I got digging into it. Next thing I know, I got a whole outline going. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, Jesus tells us exactly what this kind of search looks like, what we were just talking about, searching in the park and all that. It says in Matthew 13, verse 44, I believe it is, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found it, he hides it for the joy thereof. He goes and sells everything he has in order to get enough money to go and now buy that field. That's what it means to search for wisdom like a treasure. You give up comfort, you sacrifice time, you make room for truth. And you do whatever it takes to get a hold of what God is offering to us. Amen? Praise God. And then, after we do that, here comes the promise. Let's look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget it. Don't decline from the words of your mouth. What's he saying? The fear of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I read over there in verse 4. We're over here in chapter 2, verse 5. It's a page over in my Bible. Praise God. You shall understand. Proverbs 2, verse 5. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That word, then. That's how it starts. Then. What's then? Well, you seek it for silver, search it for hidden treasure. Then, when you seek for wisdom like that, that word then, it's a divine pivot point. If you do all this, you press in, you cry out, you seek, and you search, then you'll find it. Not maybe, not someday, not for the few, not just for the elite, not for the scholarly. Anyone who seeks wisdom this way will find what they're looking for. And more importantly, they'll find out who they're looking for as well. Amen. Praise God. Don't shut me down yet. That's the real reward of wisdom. Not just having answers, but knowing God. Jesus didn't say, search and I'll give you the way. No. What did he say? John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you don't find a principle. When you're searching, you're going to find a person. A person. And the more you pursue wisdom, the more you discover the person of Christ. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand in this book of Proverbs here. So if you ever felt spiritually dry, if you ever felt like you're going through the motions, if you ever wondered why your walk with God feels distant now, it may just be, just maybe, it's because the pursuit you used to have has cooled off. And the voice here of Solomon is calling you back. The words of Jesus are calling you forward. Solomon's calling you back. Jesus is actually calling you forward. The Spirit of God is stirring in your heart. And if you'll admit it, if you'll be honest with yourself, it's being stirred right now. Right now. Amen. Because the fear of the Lord is not terror. It's treasure. The knowledge of God is not reserved just for pastors or prophets or preachers alone. It's promised to anyone who seeks it. Anyone. But if, how can I say this? It's only available if they seek it like this, like we just talked about. Like you would seek for silver or treasure. Like everything in your life depends on it. Because in reality, it does. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, before we move on, just ask yourself, am I searching for wisdom like I search for comfort? Am I searching for wisdom like I search for answers? Like I would search for my phone if I lay it down somewhere and can't remember where it's at? Right? I know I've done that. Because verse 5 here, let's read chapter 5. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 5 makes it very clear. You will find him when you search with your whole heart. And when you do, everything else starts to make sense, praise God. I mean, let's continue on. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2, let's look at verses 6 through 11. Because when wisdom enters your heart, this is important. Verse 6 here. For the Lord gives wisdom. It begins with a foundational truth that sets the tone really for the entire chapter here. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's important. We don't want to rush past this. Wisdom is not the product of education or experience. It's not something you discover by accident either. True wisdom is a gift. It is given. And the gift only comes from one source, the mouth of God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4, I can't remember the verse, I think verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus, facing temptation, he didn't draw on clever little arguments and little one-line quips, philosophical training. He reached for what? What God had spoken. Because the voice of God is the source of life. So I said, it is written. That's the voice of God. It's the source of wisdom. And Solomon here is saying the same exact thing. If you want to walk wisely, you must first listen carefully. Amen. Look at verse 7. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Right? Lays up in store sound wisdom. For who? The righteous. Who is this for? The righteous. Well, answer this question. Who is the righteous? The believers. You and I, praise God. That phrase, lays up, that implies storage. Not just storage, but protection of what you laid up. Safekeeping. Like laying up money, you put it in the bank account. You trust the bank to protect your money. Well, God has wisdom in reserve, praise God. Not for the casual inquirer, but for the one who lives uprightly. He holds on to it until we're ready to receive it. He guards it for those who will use it well. It's not just given to us. This is now entrusted to us, if you want to call it that. Amen? He just doesn't give wisdom. He just does, okay, you're doing good. Here's some wisdom. No, he gives protection along with the wisdom. Right? He is a buckler. A buckler, read that. He's a buckler to them that walk upright. Now, a buckler, if you look it up, it's a small shield, not the big full body shield. It's the little small circular Captain America type shield that's used in hand-to-hand combat. What that implies is not just a general defense, but close-up protection. You're in the midst of the battle, and this is your personal protection. Amen? God's wisdom doesn't just prepare you for life. It shields you while you live it. It surrounds you while you're still learning it. And it defends you from things you didn't even know were coming. Glory to God. Let's look at verse 8. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Who are the saints? The believers again. That's what God does for his children, his people. He not only reveals the path you need to go down, he preserves you while you walk the path. Amen. He doesn't just give directions and then step back and say, okay, guys, there's the path. Good luck. No, he walks with you down the path. He guards your steps. He keeps the trail clear when the fog rolls in. Glory to God. Are you getting this? I pray you're understanding this. Then, okay, Lord, I'll share that. In the cavalry, I'd be out on night patrol, and we're walking through the swamps of Louisiana. I mean, you can't even describe dark. You literally hold your hand up. You can't see your hand in front of your eyes. And we had little glow-in-the-dark tabs on the back of our helmets. And you're walking, you know, 3 feet, 3 to 5 feet from the person in front of you. The only thing you see is that little tab. That's it. You don't see the ground. You don't see bushes. The point man is the one who has, we had one pair of, they call it PVS-5s, as the night vision devices. We had one pair for our platoon, so I gave it to the point man. So at least he could see if we're walking into something and stuff like that. Well, we're walking along, and I'm, I think, the third person in on the line. And all of a sudden, I don't see anything in front of me. Like, what the heck? I took one more step, down I went. And the entire, I think we had like 7-8 people in our squad at that point in time. The entire squad had fallen down about this 8-foot little ravine. And it wasn't funny, but it was funny. Amen. Because we couldn't see nothing. And the PVS-5, it only had a distance of about 15, 20 feet. So the point man was like, where did they go? He took that step, he was gone. Well, the guy behind him, he's like, where'd he go? He took the step, he was gone. Then it was me. I took the step. I then got a couple people. I said, stop. You know, we had to regroup. But why did I bring that up? Oh, because God walks with you. Okay. He has the night vision device. He can see what the devil has planned in the dark. And he'll stop you from falling down that ravine. He'll stop you from tripping over something on that path. Because he sees it. That's why he just didn't say, there's the path and go for it, boys. He walks with you. He sees what's coming and he'll let you know. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to verse 9 now. Then, there's that word then again. So it really mirrors, verse 9 mirrors what we read in verse 5. Then you shall understand righteousness. Then you shall understand judgment. Then you shall understand equity. Yes, and you shall understand every good path. Praise the Lord. This is the then that comes after the seeking. This is the then that comes after crying out. This is the then that comes after the pursuing. It is also the then that comes after God gives something. Amen? When God pours out wisdom, and you walk in it, you begin to get an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. Not just what works, not just what feels good. You begin to see life through the lens of God's character. really. Righteousness, justice, equity. You'll stop being distracted by abstract ideas. And these things will actually become your internal compass. Again, to follow that path of righteousness. That leads us to the heart of this section of verse number 10. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Oh man, doesn't that sound good? This verse describes the inward transformation that happens when God's word moves from your ears to your very being, your soul. Wisdom is no longer something you observe. It's something you inhabit. Amen. Wisdom lives inside of you at that point. It speaks through you at that point. It influences every decision and every direction you take at that point. Again, Jesus hinted at this internal transformation over at John 15:7, when he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, that's not a blank check, okay? It's a promise to the person whose desires have been reshaped by his word. When his words enter into your heart, your soul begins to want what he wants. Amen. And when that happens, your life begins to align with heaven's wants. Oh, amen. I pray you're getting this. Praise God. Solomon continues now in verse 11. Discretion. Oh, that's a big word. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. Now, these are abstract virtues, okay? They're now functioning bodyguards, basically, because discretion steps in when temptation knocks. And it will knock. Oh, can I get an amen on that one? Praise God. Temptation will knock. But understanding interrupts your natural impulses. Wisdom isn't just something you believe. It becomes your built-in defense system. You're no longer living by guesswork or gut reactions. You're being guided by the spirit of wisdom that actually lives inside of you. Jesus described this divine guidance in John 16, I think 13, right in that area, saying, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. All truth. The Holy Spirit just doesn't teach you. He guides you. He just doesn't explain the truth. He helps you to apply the truth. And that's what Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 is describing. A life where God's wisdom is no longer something you just visit on Sunday morning. It's something that governs your Monday mornings and every day during the week too. Amen. So let's step back here and just ask ourselves, has wisdom entered your heart? Not your head, not just your habits. Has the word of God become pleasant to your soul? How can you tell? I'm so glad you asked. Praise God. You know it has when you start to see temptation before it even arrives. And you pause and you pray before you act or speak. You resist shortcuts in favor of righteousness. You crave truth more than an affirmation. You no longer need the applause in order to stay obedient. Because when wisdom enters your heart, the world may still be loud, but your soul will get quiet. The chaos around you won't always stop, but you'll walk with clarity through it. And that clarity will keep you safe. And that's just not theoretical, folks. It's a promise. It's promised to us. Glory to God. And this is the quiet miracle of Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Discretion shall preserve you, and understanding will keep you. That preservation that comes not from performance, but from presence. Not from intellectual knowledge, but from an intimacy with the Word. When God's Word lives in you like that, God's wisdom will fight for you like that. I mean, it guards your steps. It shields your heart. It will also shape your future as well. Amen. We've now reached the turning point, basically, of this chapter. Because in the next verses, Solomon will show us the specific threats this wisdom will actually defend us from. Amen. Now, this will step on some toes, probably, but that's okay. Stick your toes out under the table. Pastor Bob will jump up and down all over them with the Word of God. But let's pause now and reflect on the promise that we already have here. If you receive the Word, if you treasure the Word, if you pursue the Word like you would pursue going after silver, wisdom will enter your heart, right? That's what we just read. That's what we just studied. And when wisdom enters your heart, when it does, you will never, ever, 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 never, ever walk alone ever again. Amen? Now, let's look at verses 12 through 15. Solomon here begins to name these specific dangers, not all of them, but the big ones that wisdom will protect us from. He just told us that when wisdom enters our heart, discretion will preserve us, understanding will keep us. That's what we just studied, right? And that sounds wonderful. But keep reading, because in verse 12, he explains why we need to be preserved. Look at verse 12. To deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks forward things. Now, wisdom just doesn't help you think right. It helps you to walk right. Because there are people out there in the world. There are influences out there in the world trying to lead you off course. I pray you do know that, right? All right. Well, here, Solomon introduces the very first threat. The man who speaks forward things. That word forward means perverse, twisted, distorted. He's not being openly evil. This man's not being openly evil. He's just dangerously persuasive. Okay? The Lord has dropped in my heart here. It's not so much anymore, but I'm going to date myself here. Back in the 80s and early 90s, had these late night TV shows that were on, and they would have these used car salesmen come on. Come on down to Billy Bob's. We got the best used cars here in the world. You can come right down here, and everybody gets approved for credit. You can walk out with no money down. You can walk out, look at this beauty right here. And that type of car commercial, right? Your typical, stereotypical used car salesman type of appearance. The most wise people would say, I'm not going down there. But the money they're paying to be on TV, there were people that were going down there. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to afford the commercial on television, right? So there were some people who would go down there and fall for that. And, I'm not saying all of them were unethical, but I'm saying the stereotypical image, all right? And that's what we're talking about here. It sounds good, but it might not be the thing that's in your best interest. Let's just leave it at that. Because what's twisted and what Proverbs is talking about here, what's twisted in this man's mouth is actually crooked in his heart. And the wisdom of God sees through that. And the wisdom of God will show you that. like I just explained. The evil man may even use religious language, spiritual speaking phrases. They may even be able to quote scripture. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus, didn't he? But he's really speaking for himself, not for God. All right? And Jesus warned us here about this kind of person in Matthew 7, 14, I think verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're like ravening wolves ready to devour you." Right? These people don't look dangerous, but they do look familiar. That's the used car salesman. You know, he didn't, you know, what can I say? They look friendly, charismatic, convincing. We even have some preachers out there like that today. But Jesus says they are actually predators in disguise. Now, Solomon continues here, verse 13. From the man, that's their subject matter here, the wisdom will deliver you from the man who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. This man knew what the path was, the right path. He knew what it was, but he chose to leave it. He wasn't ignorant in his choices. He was rebellious. He turned from light to darkness, not by accident. He made a decision to do it. And now he's trying to lead others down the same path. "Oh yeah, I'm a pastor too. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, no problem. Come on with me. I'd never steer you wrong." Verse 14 reveals even more from the man who rejoices to do evil and delights in the forwardness of the wicked. Folks, that's chilling. That is a chilling statement. He doesn't just sin. He enjoys it when he does it. He takes pleasure in wickedness. He surrounds himself with people who will validate him. His delight is not in God. It's in getting away with doing what he's doing. Getting away with it. And just doesn't care. He just does not care, period. And we see this today in public figures. Think about this, and you're gonna say, "Oh yeah," you nod your head, yes. Public figures who openly mock righteousness. Think about it. And influencers who boast about sin like it's a badge of honor. And in voices that normalize compromise, all the while vilifying holiness. Think about it. That's why wisdom here is essential. Because if you don't have discernment, you'll start admiring the very people who are being judged, being judgmental. You'll confuse popularity with purity. You'll follow charisma. And in doing that, you're going to end up in what the Bible calls compromise. Amen? Jesus is very clear. John 10, verse 5, red letter words here. "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." When you walk in wisdom, you recognize what just doesn't sound like the shepherd speaking, right? You'll hear, give me a word, Lord. Accent. Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good. And you'll hear an accent. The accent of deception. Amen? All right, let me ask you. Have you ever heard someone talk? They spoke just fine. Nothing really catches your attention. But it's just the way they say a couple words or phrase things that you can tell they're not from your neck of the woods. All right? I mean, I've had that experience. Oh, boy, have I had that experience. Quick background, my family background hails from Ontario, Canada, London, Ontario, to be exact. Okay, now, I was born and raised in Michigan and lived my entire life there until I joined the Army at age 18. Joined the Army at 18. By 19, I was married, had two kids by 20. Go figure, okay? But we moved, I think, a total of 12 or 13 times in 12 years. I mean, for schooling and for duty station transfers and all of that. Most of the time, of my military career, I spent down south. Okay, Fort Bliss, Texas, Fort Hood area, Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Knox, Kentucky, Fort Benning, Georgia. And I would go into a store or be talking to someone, and they'd ask, "You're not from around here, are you?" Well, I'd explain why I just said I was born and raised up in Michigan, moved down here about 7-8 years. Now, why? Why would you say that? They say something to the effect of, "Oh, it's just the way you talk, the way you say a few words. I can just tell." I said, "Really? Oh, which words?" And usually it'd focus on the word about. About. And if you ever watched a comedian or a movie that was about Canada, about is one of the words they'll use to emphasize a Canadian accent. I don't know why. Sounds normal to me. I don't think I'm saying about funny. Did I say about funny? Anyway, that's just one. Another bad habit I have that declares my Canadian background is I have a habit of saying A all the time, right? A, what does that mean, Brother Bob? Okay, well, even my kids and grandkids, they tease me about it all the time. You know, "Well, it's hot outside today, eh? You know, you doing all right, eh?" You know, things like that. That's just the way I talk, and that's the way the background where I came from would talk. Well, I would go home, I'd go home on vacation, go down to the store, and a clerk would ask me, "You're not from around here, are you just visiting?" So what do you mean? Because I was born and raised here. I graduated from the school across the street. Why would you ask me that? And their response would be almost the same, right? They say, "Well, it's the way you say a few words, I can tell." Really? What words? And usually, because I'm down south so long, I say, "Well, when you talk, you say y'all." And so you said it several times. Now, it's just that because I lived in the south for probably 10 of those 12, 13 years, I picked that up. So much so that when I went home, it sounded like I was from the south. And when I'm back in the south at our home, it sounded like I'm from up north. Anyway, I used to joke around and say, "I'm a man that has no home." Amen. Praise God. Lord, why did I share all that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Accent. It's because if you are tied into the Spirit and into Jesus, even when someone is talking smooth things, that they're saying all the right things, you'll be able to pick up on just something is not sitting right in your spirit. Amen. I mean, that you even see that in the Bible. In the Old Testament, they had them pronounce some words or something, this group wouldn't be able to say it right, so they knew they were the enemy trying to sneak in and all that. Well, and even in the New Testament, remember what they told Peter? It said, he says, "I don't know this guy. I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't walk with it. No, no, no. You got me mistaken for somebody else." He said, "No. You even sound like a Galilean." So even in the Bible, we talk about accents can trip you up. Amen. So when you're following the Spirit, you'll be able to pick up on the crookedness some people are speaking, the crookedness of the speech, the prideful undertones, the double meanings that they're using and trying to get you to do something. But you're going to pick up on it and you're going to flee. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make. Verse 15 here in Proverbs closes this profile. It says, the man whose ways are crooked. And they are forward in their paths. There it is again. Crooked and forward. Not straight. Not honest. Not trustworthy. These are people who appear to be heading somewhere meaningful, but their path isn't straight. Their motives are warped. Their outcome is destruction. And they want company as they go along their way. Now let's pause there and ask an honest question. Have you ever followed someone whose words sounded right, but their path felt off? Someone who had the right phrases, they had the right energy, the right community. But over time, their influence pulled you further from God instead of closer to God. Have you ever experienced that? Wisdom is what opens your eyes before your feet get tangled up in a trap. Wisdom will make you uncomfortable when others are getting excited. Oh, this is so great. This is so great. You're like, I don't know. Wisdom will preserve your integrity when others are chasing after acceptance. And this is why the study on Proverbs 2 today matters, folks, because Solomon isn't warning us about obvious villains. He's warning us about twisted influencers. The evil man may not look all evil. He may be clever, successful, trendy, inspiring. Wisdom's going to whisper, look closer. Look at this again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. In the red letters, Jesus described two men. One who built his house on the rock. The other built his on the sand. One who built it on the rock, it took him a long time to dig that foundation and build his house. Guy in the sand probably had his up in a couple weeks. Both houses looked great until a storm hit. And when it did, only one house remained. The difference wasn't what they heard. Both heard the word. The difference was what they did. One obeyed, dug deep into that word, laid that solid foundation and built everything else on it. The other didn't. And Jesus concluded by saying, great was the fall. That's the fate of the man described here in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. If we follow him, then we're going to fall with him too. But if we follow Jesus, the one whose words are not twisted but true, we will stand. We will endure. We will finish well. So here's the challenge for us. Are there voices in your life right now today, on your screen, your phone, in your friend group, on social media, in your podcast feed? What are you listening to? Are there people there in your group that speak with confidence, but they lack the clarity of Christ? Are there forward words that they've begun to twist your discernment? Are there influences you need to unfollow? Influencers you need to just delete them from your feed. Not just online, but in your spirit as well. Are there people like that? Because wisdom not only helps you walk uprightly, it helps you to walk away when necessary. Amen. When Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," he's also implying this. They stop following other voices. When he said, "Follow me," he also meant leave them behind, the others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what Solomon's teaching us here, folks. Amen. Wisdom delivers you from the man who speaks destruction with a smooth word. Wisdom keeps you from being impressed by those who are, in fact, dangerous. Wisdom preserves you from the path of those who rejoice in rebellion. Wisdom anchors you in the voice that never lies, the voice of your shepherd. Can you at least say amen right there? Praise God. Glory to God. We just seen how wisdom delivers us from the man who does or says certain things. Let's continue now. Verse 16 to 19. Now listen to this. To deliver you from the strange woman. So, from the woman who does or says certain things as well. Amen. Having shown how wisdom delivers us from the man who speaks forward things, Solomon now shifts his focus to another threat. One just as dangerous, but often more subtle. Verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman. Even the stranger who flatters with her words. I mean, the structure is intentional here. First, Solomon warns about the crooked man whose speech twists the truth and leads to darkness. Now he warns of the strange woman whose flattery seduces the heart and leads to death. Both are threats to wisdom. Both are paths to ruin, but they attack in different ways. This strange woman here refers not only to literal sexual temptation, but to any seductive influence that draws you away from God's covenant. I mean, the woman flatters with words, not accusations, not arguments, flattery that always sounds good to stroke your ego, It whispers what you want to hear. It never confronts sin. It actually covers sin. And this is not just about physical or sexual addiction or seduction there. This is spiritual seduction, okay? It's the voice of compromise, the temptation to loosen your convictions, the invitation to reimagine your commitments. It's the whisper that says, you deserve this. You deserve to feel good. You work so hard. You're missing out. God's not going to mind a little bit. Look at it like this. Everybody else is doing it, right? Verse 17 tells us who she really is. She forsakes the guide of her youth. She knew what to do. She forsook it and forgets the covenant that she had with her God. The woman once had a guide. She once had the truth. She once made a covenant. Now she's forsaken it. She didn't lose her way. She just up and left it. And now she's recruiting others to do the same exact thing. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy of this very thing when he said, in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. Jesus gave a similar warning in Revelation 2:20 in the red letter words when speaking to the church in Thyatira. He rebuked them, the entire church, for what? Tolerating Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and seduces my servants to commit sexual immorality. This wasn't just about lust. It was about leading people away from the authority of Jesus. And that's the point here. The strange woman in Proverbs 2 is not merely a temptress. She is a spirit of betrayal. She flatters the ears while stealing the soul. Amen. She just doesn't want your attention. She wants your allegiance. She just doesn't want a knight. She wants your calling. Oh, man. Think about the number of preachers, many famous ones, who have fallen for that temptation. And then, once they fell into that temptation, Satan turns it and exposes them, and their ministry is destroyed. Amen. Just think about it. You could probably think of several, just around 1, 2, 3. Amen. But she just doesn't pull you into pleasure. Her job is to push you off of your calling. And if possible, off the path of life. There have been several of those preachers they found in little dumpy motels that had overdosed or taken their own lives because they couldn't stand the thought of the embarrassment of what they did. Verse 18 warns us what's waiting as you go down that path. It says, beware of her, for her house inclines to death and her paths unto the dead. The language here. The language is sobering. Her house doesn't rest. It inclines. In other words, it's a slope. It's on a slope, downward, subtle, seductive, until you have slipped and actually start falling and there's nothing to hold on to. So where does it lead? Death. Not just physical destruction, but spiritual disconnection from Jesus. Loss of destiny, loss of peace, loss of integrity. Everything that matters just slowly dies. Jesus said it plainly in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what this strange woman represents. Not just a person, but a path. Not just a temptation, but spiritual theft. In verse 19, no one that goes into her returns again, neither can they take hold of the path of life. That's some serious stuff there. Amen. That verse should actually stop us in our tracks. Because this is not just a detour. It's a dead end, literally. It's not something you bounce back from without scars that will show loss of limbs, even loss of life. Those who walk into her house rarely will ever be able to walk back out the same, ever. Now, I want to be clear here. God can redeem anyone. Jesus can forgive anyone and everyone. I'm living proof of that. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to God. But Solomon is warning us that some paths are so destructive, they actually alter you. They don't just damage your testimony. They erode your ability to discern what is right. You don't just lose time. You lose traction. That's why it says you'll slip down that slippery slope. You just don't sink. You just don't sin. You actually sink to the bottom. And sadly today, this strange woman has many forms. She might appear on a screen or in your inbox through a connection request, or maybe an innocent flirtation at work, or a harmless exchange. It doesn't mean anything. Or an emotional affair that starts with sympathy and empathy and ends in infidelity. Maybe she comes through theology. Oh, that's good, Jesus. Theology. Doctrines that tell you holiness is optional. Personal sacrifice is legalism. That grace means you can do whatever you want because you got grace. After all, Jesus paid the price. You've heard it all before. Amen. Wisdom says, don't listen to that. Do not linger here. Don't listen to that. Don't let her words settle in your spirit. Because once you start down that road, returning is never as easy as you think. Jesus told a story, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, about two gates. Enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. The strange woman offers the broad road. It looks free. It looks easy. It's full of affirmation, light on accountability, but it leads to destruction. The path of wisdom is narrow. It calls for discipline. It demands surrender, but it leads to life. So let me ask you, are there flattering voices in your life today that are pulling your heart away from your covenant with God? Are you entertaining ideas and conversations or habits that, they seem harmless, but they lead to compromise? Have you been seduced by comfort and the need for approval or pleasure more than you've been anchored in the truth? Because wisdom won't scream. Wisdom won't chase you. Wisdom will not beg you. It will warn you. It'll whisper, don't do it. And it will, wait now, wisdom for the one who's willing to walk away from flattery and follow the shepherd. Wisdom will be there for you. Jesus said, John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wisdom delivers you from darkness. Wisdom pulls you back from the edge. Wisdom exposes what seduction tries to cover. Wisdom leads you into the light of life if you're willing to follow. It does not just deal with sexual immorality like people think. I heard this. How much time I got left? Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. I won't say this then. That would take too long. Praise the Lord. But amen. We're almost out of time. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you right now, because decisions matter. Where you made wrong decisions, this is your very first time where you sense His calling, I want to pray with you right now. Just repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, come into my heart. Lead me down your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your forgiveness. Oh, I know I've sinned greatly, immensely, but your grace and mercy washes it all away. Come into my heart, create in me this new man, one that loves you and loves the Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe today you're doing your best to walk the right path, but life feels heavy. Bills are rising. Income's been cut. Some of you lost your jobs. Others are facing layoffs or reducing hours. But what used to feel secure, your savings, your retirement, even your future is taking a hit. Go over to our website, wdgsbookproject.com, and I have something there that you need to look at. We're all out of time today. I don't have time to go into it. Praise the Lord. But what I do want to tell you is that Jesus is there for you. We're here for you. And until next time, it's Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for joining us for this session of the Red Letter Crusade. Remember, in a world full of noise, only one voice still speaks with eternal truth. That's the voice of Jesus through the red letter words in the Bible. Please hit that like and subscribe button and share this episode with others. Until next time, remember, in a world where clarity is needed now more than ever, His words matter.